chapter number 4, and I might keep you a few minutes longer tonight, not much longer, but a few minutes longer, and we're getting ready for revival this coming Sunday, so pray for the revival meeting Sunday through Wednesday. Looking forward to Brother Green coming and being here and being with us, amen, and praying that he behaves the days he's here, and I'm just kidding a little bit, amen, and but I love Brother Green. We have a good time together. And I tell you, God has used him to help our church, and he's certainly been a great help to my life personally, and I appreciate the dear man of God. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 4, if you'll stand with me. I was reading this text, matter of fact, Sunday, as I was at the house, and just the Lord spoke to my heart about this, and so I pray it'll be a help to us tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 4, notice with me in verse number 15. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, What is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backwards by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pain came upon her. About the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Heavenly Father, I ask you, if you would, to please speak to our hearts, give us liberty. Lord, you know what you laid on our heart. I pray you'll make it real to all of us tonight for the glory of God. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. You know, this is one of the most amazing texts to me in the book of 1 Samuel. And I wish that I could say that there was a lot of positive things to say about this text. But every passage of Scripture offers something different. For example, some passages are full of testimony, and some that we read are full of triumph. Some are full of trials, and some are even full of tears. But when you come to this text here, this is a text that is full of tragedy. And I know that it's Wednesday night, and I want to offer some hope here, and certainly will in a few moments. But I want you to see that in this text, that this is a text that is full of tragedy. And what I mean by that is, when we look at this passage of Scripture, we see that there is a tragic neglect in this text here. There's a lot of things about this passage of Scripture that where there's a one tragic neglect after another. If we was to take the time and look at verse number 15, we see the neglect of a father. As Eli was 98 years old and his eyes were dim that he could not see. Now he physically, his eyes were dim because he is 98 years old, and that just makes common sense, doesn't it? But his eyes being dim were also a picture spiritually of where he had grown in his own Christian or own personal life. He had drifted from God, and because he had drifted from God, the nation had drifted away from God. So there is the neglect here of a father. There is also the neglect of a family. If you look at verse number 17, the messenger comes, and then he mentions that his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are both dead. And if you know anything about these two boys here, the Bible said that their father restrained them not. Now that's a message in and of itself to every parent, that you must teach your children, you must train your children, but there needs to be boundaries, and there needs to be restraints, and no needs to be a common word in their life as they're growing up, because it's not that you're saying no to be bad, but you can't just give in. You can't just let your children run the house and make the decisions and call the shots, and you can't give them what they want. Here's a dad that let his boys have whatever they wanted in life, and the end result is they had no respect for God, they had no respect for the things of God, and they had no respect for their father. Now that is always the end result when parents do not put restraints on their children. So there is the neglect neglect of a family. There's the neglect of a father. And there's the neglect of faith in verse number 17, because the ark of God is now taken. The ark of God represented the presence of God. Isn't that right? And so now the Philistines have the ark of God. You know, that's what the world wants to do tonight. They want to come in. They want to take over so that they can rob the people of God of His presence. Amen? You see, the world don't mind us having church. That doesn't bother them. They just don't want us to be holy. They just don't want us to have righteousness. They just want us to be, they want us to fit in and blend in so that they can tolerate us. Amen? Well, I want to say tonight, that is the neglect, the tragic neglects that we see in this text. And then there is tragic news in this text. In verse number 16, we see the messenger's arrival as this man comes to Eli. You know, God always has a man with a message. Amen? Eli had gone away from God, but God still had a messenger here. And when this messenger comes in verse number 17, the messenger has been fighting as he tells Eli that he's come out of the army, but he's also fled, as he fled out of the army, and he's got a message for Eli, and he comes to him, and we see the messenger's answer in verse 17. He is going to give Eli some tragic news here. Now just hang with me, because I'm headed somewhere very quickly. I want you to see he gives him the tragic news of the soldiers, as he said that Israel is fled before the Philistines. Hey, that's a sad day when God's people lets the world run over them. Amen? And there's the tragic news of a slaughter. He said there's been a great slaughter. You see, they lost 4,000 men in the first battle. And so they take the ark of God and go down there and fight the Philistines again. And the Bible tells us in verse number 10 that they lost 30,000 men in that second battle. There's a great slaughter. The tragic news of a great slaughter. The tragic news of the soldiers. The tragic news of his sons who are dead. The tragic news of the servant of God. And the tragic news concerning the sister, as we find out that she is also going to die here in just a few moments. So when we read this text, there's a lot of tragic neglect, but the end result is there's tragic news. Amen. You see, when we get away from God, the news is never going to be good. It's never going to be glorious. When a church, listen, drops their convictions and standards, and when they drift from God and they let the power and the presence of God fade away, it's just one bad story after another. There's tragic news. There's tragic neglect. But then, here's where I want to preach a few minutes. We see the tragic name in verse number 20. And about the time of her death, a woman that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." In verse 21, she names the son Ichabod. The tragic news is given to this baby here. The tragic name is given to this baby when his mother is dying. And I thought about the mother of this name here. This woman, she dies in bitterness and misery. Her father-in-law is dead. Her husband is dead. And she's dying bitter. She's dying miserable. The ark of God is taken. And so here's a woman. And this baby, Ichabod, is born in an untimely hour. And we see the mother's struggle in verse number 19. Her silence as the woman speaks to her, but the Bible said she regarded it not. And then we see her statement as she names the child Ichabod, saying, listen to this, "The glory is departed from Israel." So there's the mother of this name, but then there's the meaning. What does Ichabod mean? It means the glory has departed, doesn't it? But then there's the message of this name. Somebody had to take this boy and raise him. Somebody had to raise Ichabod. Somebody had to take this boy who had this name that meant the glory is departed. And I was reading that the other day and it dawned on me. If you read the next few chapters, and you can read many chapters, but chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, I was reading that and I thought, you know what, that's a terrible label to put on a baby, isn't it? This baby represents the next generation. And this woman in her death, she labels the next generation that the glory has departed. And this text here tonight is filled with a leadership that's lost its vision, a nation that's lost its victory, a home, these two boys that's lost their values, An individual, this woman who's lost her vitality, but this next generation has lost its voice because this baby cannot speak for itself. I think if Ichabod could have spoke up, he would have said, wait a minute, don't name me that. I don't want to be called the glory is departed. I don't have a good title. And while the choir was singing, I was trying to think up one. And so this is the best title I've got now. It might change before the end of the sermon. I want to preach a few minutes tonight on this subject on don't label the next generation that way. That's not a great title, but it gets the point across, doesn't it? Don't label the next generation that way. If I could say anything to that woman, I'd say, don't call that boy that. Don't label that. Don't give that boy that name to live the rest of his life. Now, you might be thinking what I was thinking. I thought, well, it's a terrible name, but you know what? The glory has departed. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe that. When you read on, the glory of God has not departed. The ark, you say, but preacher, the ark is gone and the Philistines have the ark and the ark represents the presence of God. I believe every bit of that and every bit of that's true. But I'm going to tell you something. When you come to this chapter and the chapters after this, they prove this, that Israel had departed from God, but God had not departed from Israel. Amen? And the problem in chapter number 4, the problem that gets them in this mess and causes them to lose 34,000 men is because they made the mistake of thinking that if they could take the ark of God down into battle with them, it would just be automatic that they could win the battle and defeat the Philistines. Now here's the problem with that. They had their eyes on the ark, and it wasn't about the ark. It was about the God of the ark. Amen? What I'm telling you is the Philistines might have had the ark of God, but they didn't have the God of the ark of God. Amen? And the tragedy here in this text is you've got a backslid, dysfunctional family that has not been living for God and has not been right with God, and because that they're living defeated, and because they're living distant from God, they automatically think God has walked away from the nation and God has walked away from them and left them. But if you read chapter 5 and you read chapter 6 and you read chapter 7, you know what you find out? Ichabod was not left out, because listen, even though they departed, God had not departed. I'm not telling you the nation was where it needed to be at, but what I'm telling you, God is still real and God is still working and God is still doing things in the next chapters. Hey, I want to say to every young person, we are living in some evil times, and our nation is on a slippery slope. I'm telling you, things are not the way they were 25 years ago. I want to tell you, God has not left you out. You can have as much of God in 2026. You can still get in old times. You know what this service tonight proves before we get to preaching? It proves that even in 2026, you can still get in the glory. You can still feel the presence of God. You can still worship God. Ain't still some old time singing. Ain't still some old time preaching. Ain't still some places you can go where everybody hadn't compromised. Everybody hadn't sold out. Everybody hadn't watered down the sermon. Everybody hadn't thrown in the towel. I'm telling you, God is still real in these last days. If I believe God had departed and the glory was gone, I'd never preach another sermon. But I'm telling you, God's as real in my life today and to where I'm at right now as He ever has been. He will not forsake you. He will not walk away from you. I'm telling you, you can have rivers of living water of flowing through your soul if you get close to Him. Hallelujah. Now, I've seen people down through the years just like this family. Sometimes it's not families, sometimes it's individuals, and sometimes it's families. They let problems, people, and places, and things, and everything else we can put in there rob them of the glory and the presence of God. I'll tell you, the greatest battle all of us are going to face from here to the end, and it always has been this way. It's not because it's 2026. The greatest battle you and I are going to face as Christians is to stay spirit-filled in these last days. And brother, it's going to be a battle, but it's not an impossibility. You can be filled with the Spirit every day of your life. God wouldn't give us a command that we couldn't live in if it wasn't possible. And I can't do it in of myself, but if we'll surrender, that song that she sung a while ago, if we'll be full of the Scriptures, and if we'll pray and walk with God, and if we'll speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns, that's actually the results of being filled with the Spirit. But what I'm telling you is, if we'll submit ourselves to God and to one another in the fear of God, as Ephesians 5 says, we can still be filled with the Spirit in these last days. You can still have the touch of God. I like what you might be here tonight and say, well, I'd like to hear Brother Laddie testify. I'd like to hear Brother Laddie shout. I want to say to every young person, that is good, but he didn't just start doing that yesterday. Brother Danny, Miss Sheila didn't just start doing that yesterday. No, they had it in their youth, and they had it in their other years, and it's still real now. Amen? I'm telling you, you don't got to be 50 years old to be full of God. You can step out in the waters right now. Hey, you can get all of God. You're willing to surrender and let God get hold of you. You can still have it in these last days. Amen. And here's the message I'm going to give you tonight. And this is the message to Ichabod. I'm sorry that the generation before you labeled you that way. But not everybody feels that way. You see, what Faith Baptist Camp and Concord Baptist Church was to me and to my wife, Bible Baptist Church and Bible Baptist Jubilee is to y'all. It's a different place and different faces. But God is doing the same thing for y'all that He did for us. And what that camp and that church was to me, Brother Lighty, I've heard you and Brother Danny talk about Tampa, Florida and Pleasant Hill. And that's what that was to y'all. And God was working in the 60s and in the 70s. And oh, it may have been more widespread. Now, I wouldn't deny that fact. But God gave you a place. And He gave you some places and some people, didn't He? And some men of God. And many of them are already passed off the scene. And then God gave me and my generation some places and some people. And many of them have passed off the scene. But God has given you some places. And God has given you some faces in these last days. I'm telling you, this poor boy may have had to bore the name, but I'm telling you, the next few chapters is going to prove that God was still real. Amen. Don't label that next generation that way. You say, what do you mean? Well, here's my thoughts. Number one, God was not done, was He? And I'm going to preach. I preached a little on that, so I'll bump it a little and move on to point number two. But God wasn't done. She's died. You know, just because one person's dead, don't believe everything they say. Because a lot, you hang around dead Baptists long enough, they'll think you God died a long time ago. They'll think you God isn't doing anything in these last days and it's all over with. I'm going to tell you something, God's still saving sinners. God's still reclaiming backsliders. There's still churches that's got the presence and power of God. There's still young people selling out. God's still calling missionaries. He's still calling people to preach. He's not done, amen. I'm telling you, until we hear the sound of the trumpet, and He's not done then, by the way, amen. God's not going to be through with the Jew, even when the rapture takes place. God isn't done, amen. I'm telling you, He's still got work to do. And in these last days, you know what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to do what Jesus said to the disciples. We're to occupy until He comes. You know why? Because every morning that God raises the sun in this world, and every morning He lets you roll out of the bed and puts breath in your body, that means God isn't done with you. That means you got something that He wants you to do. Hey, God, this woman might have been done, and Eli was done, and his sons was done, but God wasn't done with the next generation. God wasn't done. He's not done today. He's still working. He's still moving. You know, people, as we said earlier, they come to the church and they join and it's the best thing in the world. And after some time, not everybody, but you know, after some time, the newness wears off to some people. And then, you know, they're gone somewhere else, I reckon. We can't do anything about that. But I just plan on staying here on the side of the road, don't you? Because He's still working. He's still moving. He's still passing by. You know what I found out in 28 years being here? God don't need me. He don't need you. And He don't need anybody else that walks through the doors. You say, how do you know that? Because we've all witnessed people thought this thing wouldn't make it if they left. But guess what? They left and we just kept on rolling, didn't we? I'm telling you, you know what? God's going to pay His bills. He's going to keep His bride up. He's going to keep the church going on. Amen. God is not done. Amen. I'm telling you, this revival meeting coming up, we've had some great revival meetings. We've had some go 2 weeks and 3 weeks and even 4 weeks. And we've seen God pass by. We've seen some great meetings in the past. But hey, those meetings are done. But God's not done. Who can tell what the Lord is going to do from this Sunday to this Wednesday? You say, well, there can't a whole lot happen in 3 days. Well, there's a resurrection took place in 3 days. I'm telling you, God can do what He wants to, when He wants to, how He wants to, and where He wants to. Amen. God can do more than one service than we can do in a lifetime. But God isn't done. All you got to do is read the next chapter. And when you go to the next chapter, guess what? God's not defeated. You see, everybody in this, Eli's defeated. Them boys have been defeated. Philistines have killed them. That woman, she dies in defeat, doesn't she? And here's this little baby. He's alive, but he can't say anything. He's a generation that doesn't have a voice yet. But just because he doesn't have a voice doesn't mean he shouldn't have hope. Amen. You see, the next generation needs hope. I believe Jesus could come today, don't you? Amen. But he might not come for another 1,000 years. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, it doesn't matter. You don't know. The Bible said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. No, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. You say, when is Jesus coming? When the Father says, go get your bride. That's when He's coming. You say, well, don't you think? I think He could come before the next breath, the next heartbeat. All the signs are pointing toward that. I believe it's the next thing on God's agenda. I believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's coming at any moment, at any second. But I couldn't promise you He's coming tomorrow. I couldn't promise you He's coming next week. I can't promise you He's coming 5 years from now. I can't promise you He's coming in my lifetime. I'm looking for Him to come. But so was Paul. I don't know when He's coming. I do know He's coming. Amen. I know one thing. Whether He comes today or whether He comes tomorrow, I know, thank God, He's not done, and I know He's not defeated. Hallelujah. Amen. The Philistines, they take the ark. Now, if the ark in and of itself was what they needed, was what Israel needed to win that battle, then the Philistines would have kept the victory. They had the ark, but they didn't have the God of the ark. They take that ark down there. They put it with their false god. And God breaks him all to pieces, doesn't He? I'm talking about the ark of God is in enemy territory. But God's not defeated. Israel's defeated. But God's not defeated. I'm going to tell you to the next generation, don't lose hope in these last days. You may run into some defeated Christians. You may run into some defeated people. But God's not defeated. Amen. What the old songwriter said, God will take care of you. Amen. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. Amen. I'm telling you, the same God that took care of Elijah is the same God that's taking care of me and you right now. The same God that stepped out on nothing and spoke everything into existence. The same God that hung the stars in the sky. The same God that hung the moon in the universe. The same God that spoke the galaxies into existence. He's the same God that sits on the same throne, high and lofty in the heavens. The earth is His footstool, and thank God He's in charge of everything, and He's never going to be defeated. He never has, He never will, and He always has been Lord. He is Lord right now. He was Lord when I went to bed last night, and He was Lord when I got up this morning. He'll be Lord when I go to bed tonight, and thank God, Jesus Christ, He'll still be Lord tomorrow. He'll never be defeated. Death could not defeat Him. Hell could not defeat Him. The Pharisees could not defeat Him. Pilate could not defeat Him. The Roman soldiers could not defeat Him. The armies of this world will not defeat Him. The kings and the captains will not defeat Him. All of hell cannot defeat Him. He is large and in charge. Hallelujah. He's not defeated. And if God's not defeated, I'm not living in defeat. There's only one way for a Christian to live. And that's in victory. Brother, I'm telling you, you do not, you know, and maybe this will help somebody, I don't know. But somewhere is in your Christian life. You say, Brother Gravely, do you ever get down? Well, sure I do. Do you ever get defeated? Sure I do. I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't. But I don't want to stay there. And I'm never, by the grace of God, I'm not going to church defeated. Some people, they let the circumstances of life dictate their worship. You gotta grow up. Amen. Let me tell you something about being saved. It's not how far down the road you've been. It's what you've gathered along the way. You can be saved 40 years and still be a baby Christian. You gotta grow in the Lord. Amen. I'm not telling you I'm a spiritual giant, but I'm telling you, you don't have to live in defeat. Slewfoot talks to me like everybody else, but I'm not listening to that booger. Amen? I'm telling you, sometimes he'll plant some little thoughts in your mind. I just say, Lord, would you dismiss that from my mind? Sometimes he'll tell you all kinds of crazy things. I say, Lord, I'm not listening to that. I'm going to trust you. I'm just going to trust you. I don't know the outcome. I don't know, but I'm not going to walk around with a mully grumps. I'm not going to walk around with a sad blues all the time. I'm going to tell you why. Because the God on the mountain is God in the valley. Amen. I tell you, when I go to church, listen, the storm clouds may be hanging low, but somewhere shining through those clouds, you can see Jesus. If you'll just look up and say, God, I'm just going to praise you in the good times, and I'm going to praise you in the bad. I'm going to praise you when I'm happy, and I'm going to praise you when I'm sad. I'm talking about don't let the circumstance of the life dictate your worship. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he is good, isn't he? And he don't even have to be good to me. I know it's late, but I'm preaching. I don't care if we get out here until 10 o'clock tonight. I'm just telling you, amen, God's not defeated. Hallelujah. Let you go enough early. You can hang in there with me. Amen. I know y'all be praying. I never miss a Sunday again. Amen. But I'm telling you, he's not defeated. I like to be around happy Christians. And I like to, don't you like to be around steady Christians? Not them ones that are ping-ponging. I mean, I like to be around them. You know what I'm saying. I just careful how I talk to them. Y'all, I lost some of you there, but you needed it. If I lost you, you needed it. Just go ahead and swallow it. It'll help you. But you know what I'm saying? Some people, they can't get their emotions under control. And this is why. Because they're not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're always letting your emotions drive you, you need to surrender that to God. Ask the Lord to help you grow up a little more in your Christian faith. Well, Brother Gravely, I've been saved 20 years. Well, you still need to grow up. Cannot let your emotions drive you. Oh, I get down, but he's the lifter up of my head. You ever get worried? Yeah, but I don't want to stay there. I don't want that to be who I am, because God, he's not defeated. I look back through life. We can all testify this. This is nothing special. But I look back through life, and Brother Danny, so many times in so many ways, he's come through. I don't know how he's done it, but he's always done it. At times when I didn't know when, I didn't know how. And sometimes he never changed. Only God can keep the circumstances the same and still give you victory right in the middle of it. How is that even possible? That's just God, isn't it? Circumstances are still the same, but God, all of a sudden, I'm not going to change the circumstances this time, son. I'm just going to change you. I'm just going to give you some victory. It's going to be peace that's going to pass your understanding. You ain't going to be able to explain it to nobody, but you're going to have victory in the midst. I'm telling you, God isn't defeated. The more that's swelling up in my soul, the more I think about it, I'm telling you, I'm glad we serve a God tonight. He's not weak. He's not sick. He's not discouraged. He's not popping pills. He's not down. He's not wringing his hands. Oh no, he's high on a throne and he's in charge, and God is not defeated tonight. And I don't want to live my life like that. I've said often to my wife, I don't know how many days I got left on this earth, but I tell you, I want to live them with joy. Amen. I don't know how many years. I hope the Lord lets me pastor this church till I'm 95 years old. Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing to y'all? Got lost half my mind. I'm still trying to tell y'all how to live. Well, you know. But they don't quit. There's no quitting me today. I don't want to quit. We're going to leave at 3 a.m. this in the morning, here in a little bit. And there's no quit. There's no quit. And you say, well, people say, well, why don't you slow? I don't want to slow down. I probably have to one day. But if I go, just tell everybody, I went doing what I've enjoyed doing more than anything in this world. Living for God. That's how I want to go, Brother Danny. Living for God. I don't want to go defeated. I want to go serving God, don't you? With everything. Yeah, I'm so glad we don't have to be the best. I tell you what, you don't have to be the best. Just give your best. Isn't that right? Just give your best. Just give your best. Give your best. Hallelujah. Getting married soon. You happy about that? Good. Amen. I've got one counseling session for you. Give your best, because she's going to expect it, I promise you. But I'm just telling you tonight, I don't want to be defeated. No sin being defeated, sins and staying there. God's not done, God's not defeated. And then I'll tell you this, He's not dead. Everybody here dies. Eli dies. His boys die. His girl dies. But this little baby's alive. Everybody in his family has died. But his God is not dead. You know, the Bible said when your father and your mother forsake you, the Lord will lift you up. You know what that means? That doesn't mean just, and it's literal in some people's life, I get that. But what God is saying is that if the dearest on earth cannot be there for you, it doesn't mean that they just walked away and totally abandoned. But I'm telling you, when people pass away, they've not forsaken us in the sense that we use that word, but they can't be there for us no more. They're gone. But the Lord's still there. Brother Laddie, y'all came to church that night. That'll forever be in my mind. I know that ain't why you did it. But won't that forever be in our mind? Miss April, when y'all came on that night, and Miss Holly, I wasn't expecting y'all to be here. But then I wasn't surprised. None of us was, were we? Miss Thelma, I thought about that. She was having a time in glory. And y'all are worshiping God. I think that thrilled her. That's what she wanted, wasn't it? That's what she told you. I know. I didn't hear it, but I know that's what she said. I've watched this family all these years worship God faithfully. And serve God and not waver. They hadn't wavered. They hadn't wavered. Just steady. So how can people do that? The God they serve is alive. Young people, don't ever drop your convictions. In this world where they make fun of you because you wear a dress and because you wear a modest dress below your kneecap and because you boys don't wear shorts and you don't have them weird weed eater haircuts and all that mess, you know, and you girls don't have 14 earrings in one ear and, you know, and I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Nobody wants to marry a girl with one of them bull rings in her nose. Amen. That's just nasty, isn't it? Y'all know it's nasty, don't you? But, you know, you don't have to hang your head because you go to an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental King James Bible-believing church. You don't have to hang your head. You girls over here, y'all moving over here. Reckon there's not a lot of room over there. But you know what? Don't you thank God you go to an old-fashioned church? And you go to an old-fashioned church. And thank God for it. Amen?
Yep.
There's hope for the next generation. God's not dead. In 2026, on a Wednesday night, I'm still preaching past 8 o'clock. Because God is not dead tonight. We got to keep them, and y'all have been doing a good job, and I'm not just saying that. I mean it. I mean, I'm not saying it as just a compliment. I'm saying this as an encouragement because God put it in my heart back in Jubilee, and I'm saying this to the backbone of the church, the Wednesday night crowd. I'm saying this to you tonight. I appreciate very much y'all saying amen and testifying and not letting it go. You know, when Sunday morning, God knows my heart Sunday morning, I said, Lord, I want to be at church. But I can't be there, but Lord, I want you to, would you please, and I'm not saying it's just my prayers. Many of you prayed Sunday, I know that. But I believe God answered my prayer. I said, Lord, let the church don't need the pastor. And I know people say that and I appreciate it, but I mean in reality, this thing ain't riding on me. I said, God, please bless our church today. Please help the men that are doing the preaching. Please help the choir. Please help the musicians. Lord, give us a good day at church. And you know what thrilled me? Watching the service on Sunday. Everything. The singing was good. The preaching was good. I tell you what thrilled me. Hearing people say amen. Hearing people testify. That it wasn't just dead. You know, some pastors may like it. They may like it dead when they're gone. But I tell you, I don't want it that way. I want God to be here. Hey, this thing is not built on a person, is it? And I tell you, if it dies because the preacher's sick, then man, we got some problems, don't we? Because God, He's not dead. And I tell you, I appreciate this church taking what the Lord laid on my heart seriously. And we need to keep it that way, because I tell you, they're dying all across this country. All across this country, they're dying. People, they've been dead so long, they don't even know it. And it's going to take more than a revival and evangelist to bring some of them back. It just takes the steady worship. Now, I'll give you this last thought. God's not dead. God's not done. And God is not defeated. And then God is not departed. I really looked at that. Let's call Him Ichabod, because the glory's departed. Well, wait a minute. Doesn't look like it to me. Looks like you got your hope in a lucky charm rather than in the God of that ark there. You see, this building could burn to the ground, or they could take this building over and turn it into a dance hall. And we could have to go somewheres across town and maybe meet in a field. I don't mean God's departed. If we lost this building and lost this land, what's the ark? Oh no, we're not worshiping the ark. Well, the presence of God dwells here. Oh, I know that. But the presence of God can dwell anywhere He wants to dwell. Well, the world took our ark. Well, they can have it. Just give me the God of that ark. You know what's proof of that? We go to a colonnade once a year, twice a year. And we meet there. And when we first went to that colonnade, I'm here walking down the hall. I said, dear God, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing or not. I'm doing the only thing I know to do. And Lord, I'm going to walk through this door. This is what I said. I said, Lord, I'm going to walk through this door. And if you don't want me to walk through this door, I'm really not sure what your will is. But if you don't want me to walk through this door, please shut this door. I'd rather not have a jubilee as have a dead jubilee. And we walked through it, didn't we? And I'll be honest with you, I didn't know no more than anybody else when we come in there Monday what would happen. But God met with us. And one year, we closed out a couple years ago, and while we were stacking chairs after a good meeting, they were putting down a dance floor for whatever was fixing to take place. You say, how is that possible? It's not the ark. It's the God of the ark. And if God wants to move in a place for 4 days and sit down and let His glory and His presence be known, He can do that. And He don't got to take a poll. He don't got to ask permission. He don't got to see what nobody thinks about it. Hey, they can take this building over. If we got to meet in a barn somewhere, I believe the same God that meets here can meet anywhere He wants to. Amen? And you read the next chapter. God wasn't done with Israel. God wasn't done with the Philistines. You go to chapter 7. You know what? They didn't have the ark, but I'm going to tell you what they did have. They had Samuel the prophet, amen? If they didn't have the ark, but they had a man of God, and if they had looked to the man of God, finally it took them 2 chapters, but they got desperate, and they went to the man of God, and he raised an Ebenezer, and after 20 years of being away from God, they had revival, amen? I'm telling you, the God of this Bible is the God of revival, and the ark may be gone, but the God of the ark is still real, hallelujah. How many of y'all believe God can send revival Sunday morning like we've never seen before? I'm telling you, I'm looking for it, aren't you? I believe God's able to do it. These people that it's going to take the Holy Ghost to break through to them. Boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if that happened this week, coming week. And then there's all of us, we need to be closer to God, don't we? I'm saying we. I always need to be closer to God than what I am. And I'll tell you, a good old-fashioned revival. You know, God could touch Brother Green like he's never touched him before. We just need to pray for the pray God would fill the man of God and just touch him like he's never been touched before. And God, fill these services Sunday. Just come in here and just sit down in this place. Lord, just sit down in this place. There'll be people here hungry, and there'll be people here Sunday doing this right here. But we don't care, do we? God, sit down in this place. Turn this place upside down. Amen. Turn it upside down. This coming Sunday, Sunday night, Monday night, all the way through. God is able. He's so able. And the glory, I'm going to tell you, young people, you're so blessed. You're so blessed. And I think you know it. But every young person here, you're so blessed. Because in 2026, guess what? You came to church, and you know what? When I'm not here, I tell Brother, and I appreciate, Brother Andrew's done a good job, hasn't he? You know what I appreciate about him? He does what I ask him to do. That's how you one of the best assistants, because I could trust him to do exactly what I asked him to do. Now, sometimes you had to bear some load for that. Sometimes you wasn't very popular, because you're doing what the pastor says. That's a burden you have to bear. You'll have to do that same thing. But you know what? He does exactly what I ask him to do. That's an assistant. Amen? Got a little quiet right there, didn't it? You don't need an assistant trying to be the pastor. You just need one pastor. And I'm going to tell you, I can say that because he never had. I'm going to tell you something. Brother Andrew will be like, hey, he's just like Brother Brian. Well, let me talk to the preacher about it. That's what it is. Well, let me talk to Miss Gravely about it. These men right here, all these men, well, we've talked to the preacher about it. You know, I don't even want that responsibility. But that's what it is, ain't it? Amen. Well, that's just how it is, ain't it? When I'm not a pastor one of these days, I will never again want to be in charge of anything. Nothing. Not even a broom closet. Just I'll do whatever somebody tells me. But I'm just telling you tonight, in 2026, all of hell, come on, Miss Sheila, all of hell, if they could take his church, oh, they'd do it before sunup. I tell you, somebody keeping us tonight. Don't you thank God you don't got to keep this place? I couldn't keep this church. You couldn't keep this church. But I tell you, God's keeping this church. He's keeping the doors open. I mean, did y'all see the offering we had Sunday? That's amazing. And the Sunday before that. You saw that offering. I'm going to tell you, I saw that offering. I started to text Brother Wilson. I said, now, I trust your math, but, you know, we sat in deacons meeting and prayed, didn't we? That God would increase them offerings. He's doing it, isn't he? That's God. That is God. And so many times, I've watched God take care of this place. I tell you, times when I couldn't tell nobody, and I wouldn't even tell these men sometimes, I didn't think we was going to survive, Brother Daniel. But I watched God. Without me ever putting my hand to anything, I watched God take care of this place. Amen. I bless His name for that, don't you? He has took care of us. He has been so good to us. Let's stand tonight. And this is kindly a little revival service before revival. There's hope tonight. There's hope tonight. I tell you, When I come through the doors of this church, Sunday in, Sunday out, I think to myself, God, you've been so good. You have been so good to us. We don't even deserve it, but you give us a place right here on the side of the road. Oh, we're not, I tell this all everywhere I go. I say, I don't pastor the biggest church, but I'm going to tell you right now, I pastor the best church in the country. Best people. Best people. God's people, best people. His presence, His people. I thank God for this church. I tell you, we all got flaws tonight, but I'm just glad to be a part of a good place where God's real. We're going to sing a verse of this. If you need to use the altar, you mind God tonight.